news in the everyday, me and you. The Good News in Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
Okay, Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 9. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Now, those are the people that you meet all the time, the people that believe that they're good enough, they're going to go to heaven because they're good enough. God would never send them to hell. They're not evil like other people. They're not bad. They're not criminals. They don't do heinous things. They're just regular people going about their lives. And they feel that they're good enough to be acceptable to God. And so they trust in themselves. They don't think that they need anything beyond the fact that they're good people to get there. But the funny thing is that the last part of this verse says they treated others with contempt. Those who are less than them on this scale that they have in their minds of who lives good and who doesn't live good, those that fall below it, they have a certain contempt against them. So then we get to verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and you know Pharisees was from the religious sect, very, very strict, very, very devout. And the other man that went up was a tax collector. Now, the tax collector is not necessarily well-liked in the community. He is a Jewish man who is working for the Romans. And that already puts him on poor standings with his neighbors. He's a Jewish man. He works for the Romans. He collects money from people. He goes to their houses, goes to their property, and decides how much money they need to pay Rome. So that in that, they're going to not like him. And then he pockets a percentage of it himself. So by the time it's over, they hate this guy. He is not well liked in the community. He does well financially, but he pays the price. He doesn't have many friends. He is not well liked. So the Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like that tax guy over there. I fast twice a week, and the Pharisees did, Mondays and Thursdays. And I give tithes of all that I get. And on he went with his resume before God of why he was such a good fellow and why he deserved to be accepted in the sight of God. So the Pharisee starts out by lifting himself up and by putting others down in order to do that. We often call that comparative righteousness, or CR, comparative righteousness. We compare ourselves with other people. You can always find somebody that you can look at and say, well, at least I'm not like that. And even if you've got all kinds of problems, you can find somebody who has a problem you don't have, maybe one out of 100, and they have this problem, and it's the one problem you don't have. You've got 99 other ones. But because they have it and you don't, glad I'm not like that person. Look what they go through. Look what they have, and so forth. You can always live in comparative righteousness. And, of course, that's the way humanity thinks. That's the way we operate. We compare ourselves one with another, and we come out on top, if depending on who we compare ourselves to, or we can come out on the bottom too. We can find people who are certainly more righteous, more noble, more self-sacrificing, and so forth than we are. and feel small in their sight. We can always come out small, too. But the trouble, of course, with comparative righteousness, when it comes to the eternal things, and when it comes to God, is that we're not comparing ourselves to the right person. When it comes to God, the comparison must be made to himself. God wants you to compare yourself to him and see where you land on that comparison chart. So in Matthew 5:48, therefore, he says this, you must be perfect. That's on the comparison chart. There's a little line up on the top that says perfect. And then there's other little lines, and we see how high you get towards that perfect mark. But that's the gauge. The gauge is you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. God's perfect, the Father's perfect, Christ is perfect, and that is the scale. If you're going to compare yourself, then perfect is what you need to measure up to. If you want to be accepted, if you want to be approved of, if you want to be someone that's admired by those of us in heaven, then you must be perfect. You can compare yourself with all kinds of others who fall short and lift yourself up in that sense, but that doesn't cut it in heaven. That's not going to get by the courtrooms of heaven. You're not going to get by those pearly gates, as we said, if you can find them. You're not going to get through those gates because you're better than somebody else upon the earth or worse than somebody else. The comparison is always to be made with God. And that's what people don't realize. We witness to them, and we try to get them to see that because they live in the world of comparative righteousness. They live in that world. And to them, they're not so bad. You know, you should be going to talk to real sinners, not them. But in Psalm 14:2, the Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man, on mankind, to see if there are any who understands, to see if there are any who seeks after God. And his conclusion is, they have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. And there is none that does good, not even one. So God looks down from heaven, and he evaluates mankind, and he decides that all have turned aside from following his will, and all have become corrupt in their thought life and in their behavior, and there is none that does good, not even one. So that's a pretty bad report card on mankind when it comes to the things of God. Yet the Pharisee felt good about himself. He was living in comparative righteousness. He felt good because he could point to many, many people who certainly didn't live the life that he lived. They certainly didn't have the moral standards he had. They certainly didn't fast twice a week. They certainly didn't pray as long as he prayed. They certainly didn't know Scripture the way he knew Scripture. He had many, many areas of comparison he could use to put others down, to lift himself up and say, I am worthy in the eyes of God to be accepted by him. And not only to be accepted, but to be commended by him. Because I have done all these things and I am all these things. And so, but he lives in the world of comparative righteousness. In reality, what is the truth? He also has turned aside. He has become corrupt. And he is not one that does good, not even one. The judgment of God is upon him just like anyone else. That he has fallen short. And that's why your Bible says, and you use it when you witness, that all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So in contrast here in this little story, we also have the tax collector, the publican. He's not a Republican, he's just a publican. He's a tax collector. And he feels a little different about himself than the Pharisee does. In verse 13, the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven. He beat his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. So here we have a tax collector, and he knows in his heart that he, on that scale of how good are you in life, the scale of comparative righteousness, he falls way short. In fact, he is in minus R. No righteousness at all. Because he knows he cheats people. He knows he inflates the value of things so he can get more money out of it. He knows that he doesn't do right by people. He knows the games that he plays. And all of that is inside of his heart and inside of his conscience, and it weighs heavy upon him. Because it weighs heavy upon him, we are told here he can't even lift his eyes to heaven. The guilt weighs so heavy that he cannot even lift his eyes to heaven. And that is a lot of guilt that a person can carry with them. And this is guilt that he is carrying, and it is unresolved, it is in his heart, and he lives with it every single day. And when he tries to draw near to God, it becomes more magnified than ever. When you start thinking about God and stuff, it becomes just more magnified. So when he gets to the temple, he doesn't even want to go that far into it. He stands afar off from it. He looks down. He's feeling guilty. And he has no freedom whatsoever. It's kind of like Peter. You remember Peter in Luke chapter 5 when he had a revelation of himself. He went to his knees and told Jesus to get away from him. He said, Jesus, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Get away from me. You know, you shouldn't even be anywhere near me because I am experiencing right now guilt. And I am unworthy and undeserving of you to be in my presence or for me to be in your presence. I should have nothing. You and I should have no relationship right now because of the way I feel. Please get away from me. That's guilt. Unresolved. It's got to be resolved. If you're going to walk with God, if you're going to have a relationship with God, if you're going to have a, if you're going to be a Christian who's healthy, spiritually healthy, you're going to have to resolve the guilt issue. Because the guilt will always push you away from God. It will always push you away from God. It will always make you want to stand afar off or sit afar off or hang back. No matter what's going on, just kind of hang back and not be in the center of things, but be on the fringes all the time, and just kind of show up once in a while and not really get too committed and too involved. Oftentimes, guilt can be the problem in a person's heart that causes that. It's not just that they have no interest. It's because guilt produces that in them. It's unresolved still in their conscience and in their heart. And so the guilt issue must be dealt with, and then the liberty of grace must become something that a person experiences in Christian life. You want to experience the liberty of grace. That was the liberty that we were told to stand fast in Galatians 5:1. Don't become entangled in the yoke of bondage again. People who have the liberty of grace.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.